Welcome back. We're going to now be considering in this module DOM interactions. And this is a nice little blend of what we've been doing up to this point. We've talked a little bit about content, we've talked a little bit about functionality, and now we're going to get into the point where we can start to blend and merge these things together through some interactions. And of course, we're going to also be tying in what we learned previously, and that's how to use functions to do that, and how to call methods on existing things in order to do some of these changes. So we're going to get right into it. And you can see here that this is just following the JavaScript core capabilities. And now that we have enough there, we can start to tie in the stuff we went to all the way back to module one, talking about HTML5 elements. So in this particular agenda, the very first thing that we want to do, somewhat similar to what we did when we were talking about the CSS, is how to access what it is that we want. So if we want to access things for styles, then we have that syntax for that. Well, what are we going to do in order to query the DOM and understand or get the things that we want? So there is some options. One of the options been around for a long time, and that's the function or the method getElementById, which, as the name implies, means we're going to grab an element and we're going to get it by means of its ID. Now, notice that the next one has an S after the element, which means it's getElementsByTagName. Why don't we have getElementsByID? What would you say, Jeremy?
Probably because that would be an incredibly terrible practice.
You're absolutely right. Because there should only be, at any given time, if you have an ID assigned to any element, whether you've done it programmatically or whether you're doing it in the markup, ID should always be unique for the entire document. So that's why it's always a single return value. Now, of course, there can be tons of tag names that are the same, and that's why we have a getElementsByTagName method. We also have some other methods that are at our disposal. And we alluded to this a little earlier when we were saying maybe there's some popular things out there like jQuery to do some of your API stuff. But Query Selector and Query Selector All can also provide another way to query the DOM that you might just love. So let's get into some of the aspects of it by first looking at the approaches that are currently available. The first one is the one that's tried and true, getElementById. And basically, it's an OR clause here. We could have done the first one or the second one. The second one has only one unique difference in terms of the argument that's passed in. And it seems, I feel like this is familiar territory. Why is that? What is that?
I don't know. I know I've seen the hashtag before now.
We've seen the hashtag before. What we're doing is we're taking advantage of what jQuery even takes advantage of, and that's we all know how to query things, usually in CSS, through these selectors. So why not bring that into the DOM world and say, can we also find things that way as well? So the var x equals document.query selector, singular, means go grab me that element and...
Now, does it have to be a hash? Does it have to be an ID selector?
Oh, for the query selector, is that your question?
Right.
So the answer to that is no. It can be whatever you want to pass in there that would be a valid selector. In many cases, that would be similar to what we did with our CSS. So, however, you do raise a good question without you even knowing it. And that is, what if you pass in something in there to query selector, and the thing that you're passing in there would return more than one result, which would be possible?
Right.
Now, you might think that that's my segue to say, well, let's just talk about query selector all, which would return something different. But in actuality, you still can call query selector even if the criteria you're passing in returns multiple results. What's your guess that you're going to likely get back if you use query selector?
You want my honest guess?
I do.
I'm going to guess that you'll get the first item that matches.
And he is absolutely correct.
That's but exactly I've done this before. Happens. Thank you.
Our sound's working. That's great. So the other thing that you can do, and this is kind of that passing into that example, that's why I have the word thing and the word list. Thing would say, hey, when you're using a query selector, more than likely what you're doing is you have the intention to only get one thing back. So a great example would be using an ID, because you know you're going to get one thing back. Or if you knew for sure you just want the first thing found and you're okay with that, then you can use that to return that first thing. List, on the other hand, is going to return all the possibilities. I mean, in this example, that dot item means, hey, if there's any items in the DOM that have a class equals item, well, it's going to return it. How is it going to return it? Well, we know we're going to get multiple things. That we know for sure. But I think in the demo, we're going to find out more specifically how we're going to see these items really showing up when we do our queries. So that's what I'd like to do now, is I'd like to explore querying the DOM. And I'm going to move into Visual Studio. And right here, I've already created a function in this little sandbox called QueryDOM. And I've established var x equals get, you know, the document get element by ID. Now, I don't have a hashtag there, but keep in mind, we don't need one here because we already know that the context by the method call is an ID, so we just need the name. And to provide a little example here of what we're looking for, that means that we would need to find this on the screen. I'm going to explode that out a little bit. ID of pick, and in the JavaScript, that's what we're looking for as well. I'm going to put a breakpoint here. I did this, you know, Jeremy showed that you could use the word debugger. And I'm just going to place a breakpoint here for right now. And I'm going to run it, which means that when it gets to this line of code, it's going to stop there and allow me to do some interesting tips and tricks. Although the main focus is going to be the multiple ways you can query. I will let you know that I've already tied this function to be called when this is loaded. So the fact that this function is going to actually get hit is because I've already tied that in down below right here. And we'll be discussing event handlers a little later. But so it's already been done. I'm going to hit run. And we stopped on that line of code. Now, what's exciting about this particular demo, in my opinion, is we're going to use a feature inside of Visual Studio to help us to appreciate what the possibilities are for troubleshooting and so forth. But that's really not the main objective, but you're going to get kind of like a two-for-one in this when we're doing the querying the DOM. If I type in, way down here is the JavaScript console. And if I just type the word X and hit enter, and I now scroll up, you're going to see that it produced for me. In fact, I think I'm going to change this to be docked differently so I can see all the results. I like docking, but I think I'm going to do it this way. Typing X meant, okay, I'll let you know what that is. And what's so awesome about this is that I can expand it and I can find out what's inside of it right here. So that query was just by typing X. That's kind of cool.
These debug tools are phenomenal. Keep in mind, this is JavaScript. So this is a completely dynamic language. And Visual Studio is making it just as easy for us to work in this language as strongly typed languages.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeremy and I have both been working in these environments. You could say, well, why are you in the debugger so much? Well, we're not going to talk about that. But what we are going to talk about is some of the cool things that you can do once you're in the debugger. And you showed me a really interesting little trick that I could do here. So I got on the screen, I was able to show by just typing X what was the element of X. But there's actually something else I can do to see it in its object form. What was the name of that particular function that I can call down here in the JavaScript?
Dir.
Exactly. He said dir. He didn't mean he didn't know.
Dir.
It's dir. That's right. So if I say dir x and hit enter, that executed it. And now we can see as I go over here, I can expand that object and find out a different perspective of it. I love that. I think that's great. But you know what? You showed me something else that's pretty cool too. And I'm going to show this down here as well. You can go in here and also do a select of X. Hit enter. And it doesn't seem like it did anything, but when I expand out, what it did is it takes us inside of Visual Studio. There is a tab called the DOM Explorer. And when you see this tab, it means you're running your app. And so that means it's going to give you what the rendered version of your DOM is. Rendered version is because, well, we can add and do a lot of things to the DOM in memory, and we could see that here. When we said select, did you notice that down below, what it did is it said, hey, here's where it is. I selected it for you in this running DOM. So that gives you the ability to have some context to whatever it is that's running in there. So that's fantastic. But, you know, there's more. There's more.
But wait.
Exactly. See, now I could say X equals, and let's do a document dot. Am I typing JavaScript in here? This seems crazy.
I think that's why they call it the JavaScript console.
I think so. So selector, and let's say that I want to prove the point that we made earlier of, you know, if I wanted to find, let's say, an H2, you know, query selector, remember we were saying that what you could do is pass in stuff, but I happen to have two H2 tags in this document.
Right.
It should return the first one. And the first one should have the word demo in it because it's up there in that, you know, title area. So I'll hit enter. And what do you know? My goodness, that's awesome. Now, if I hit the up key on my keyboard, what that's going to do is allow me to just repeat whatever it was that I just typed. Makes it a lot simpler to say, well, what if I said query selector all and then hit enter? Well, now I get this node list. Yeah. And you can expand that out and you can see the two H2 tags that are in there. That's just phenomenal. This is very helpful when you are trying to troubleshoot and look for stuff, but it's also a way to just prove how you could start querying the DOM. So let's see what else we have in this DOM.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
I want you to.
One interesting point that I learned about the node list is that node lists are live elements.
Live elements, you say, as opposed to the ones that aren't alive.
Dead elements, I guess.
Yes.
No, a node list is a capture of all of the elements that matched your query selector, right? Well, if you selected div, and it got the 17 divs that happened to be on your page, but then another div got added, it's going to capture that new one as well. So a node list is a live object.
That is so cool.
Thank you.
That is very helpful. Thank you for highlighting that. So let's play around with this a little bit, and let's see if we could do a little bit more of a complex query. I'll go back into the console. I'll hit the up arrow, and you know, let's showcase what we could do here with the selector. You know, for example, I know I have some line items, so I can hit that and get another node list. And this would also prove that even though I have three line items in a UL and another one that's up above, all the LIs are going to show up here. So that's another way to kind of prove the power there. If I have any classes, in fact, let me see. Let me go sneak over here and see. We have a any good classes in my example here? Or I could even use maybe a type down here, or spans. Again, if I have all these various spans, but then I turn around and say, no, I don't want to select them all, just give me the first one that's found on the page. What I'm going to find out is that immediately is over here to this do audio check. By the way, I added these check items on this page. If I were to run this right now, you'll appreciate the fact that I was concerned. I'll take that break tag off. Make sure and do audio check, video check, and buy the text a drink. I think that was also a check item for the other things tomorrow.
Do you have any way of making that a high priority item?
Yes, I should make that a high priority by adding a class or doing something that would really make it stand out. And in fact, that's really a nice segue to what we really should be talking about next, and that is the manipulation of the DOM. It's one thing to go find all those items. You know, we can go query them, but now what are you going to do with it? You know, that's kind of why I was in the debugger, because I was thinking, well, yeah, it's fun to go find it, but to really showcase what you're going to do, you have to do something with it, you know, once you have it.
Now, Michael, do you mind if I show something real quick?
I want you to.
All right. Now, if you're using CodeShow, you'll recognize that there's an option used whenever I, in the code, am querying the object that you'll just see. It's a function called queue. And I want to show you how that works. I got a little bit annoyed with the fact that there's a query selector and a query selector all, and sometimes I want one and sometimes I want the other. Granted, they're very different functionality, and I'm thrilled that they both exist, but I wanted to encapsulate those with one call, whether it was going to return one object or an array of objects. And I also found it a little bit inconvenient that it was a node list, even though it's an advantage because it's a dynamic object, a live object. I wanted an array because if I have an array, I can use all of my array functions. And so I encapsulated that. You'll find that in the ocho.js, which in the CodeShow project is under the JS folder. And it's called ocho.js. And that's just a library of a lot of functions that support this project. At some point, it might come out on its own. But for now, it's just a part of CodeShow. And there's a function in there called query. So you'll notice that there's the WinJS namespace. It's just the utilities namespace. There's a function called query. And you're free to just jump into Ocho.js and grab that and pull it out if you want. But then if that's called query, how am I using queue everywhere? And the way I'm doing that is under the JS, the default JS is the main JavaScript file for the app, for the CodeShow app. And if you scroll to the very bottom, you'll notice that there are a few things that I'm doing in the global namespace. Now, I know that I think it's either that a kitten dies or something like that every time you use the global namespace as a place to store your functions and properties. But
what do you mean by global namespace? What would define that was in the global namespace?
Well, these immediate functions that you showed us before, the purpose of those was to encapsulate everything on the page. And so usually everything on the page should be in between the opening and closing of that function. Let me just collapse that. And you can see that there's the immediate function, and then there's a bunch of stuff that's happening outside of it. Now, I personally don't feel like it's terrible to use the global namespace. You just have to be aware that you're using the global namespace, and whatever you define in here is going to be available everywhere. And I decided that I want to use the queue function everywhere, so I capture that query function, call it queue, and now it's available everywhere inside the app.
Nice.
So everywhere that you see query selector all, get element by ID, all of that can be replaced with simply queue. But you could still use the originals. So I just wanted to let everybody know that since you're going to be using the code, you know, in CodeShow, you want to know how that queue function works.
That's helpful. And for those of you that really want to know how it behaves, and if you really have you been using jQuery, almost imagine queue was like a dollar sign to some extent, because that's really what it does, is it says whether it's a single or a many, I'm going to go, you know, I can handle that for you. So when you see that used everywhere in the project, it's eliminating all the typing of all the documents, query selectors and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, in fact, if we switch back to my screen for just a second, the queue method actually does take a context and some options. So you can do your, if I can type, you can do your searching for element by ID, div1, and then you can say in the context of, and this might be some other DOM element. And now it will limit the results of this to only search that DOM element.
That's
so
fantastic.
Things like that, yeah.
Very cool. So I think the main takeaway leading up to this point is a lot of different ways that we can go grab what we want out of the DOM, the document object model. And of course, the main reason why you want to do that is you typically want to do something with it.